The following shiur has been presented by Rav Micha Cohen, Dayan at the Beis Chabad Halacha Center. For more information about the center or for halachic services and resources, please call 1-888-485-VAAD or visit thehalachacenter.org.
We are holding in Masechtas Yuma, Daf Nun Tes. Now, the Gemara over here mentions the different corners of the Mizbeach and the different directions that the Mizbeach was positioned in. Now, the actual makam of the Mizbeach, the place of the Mizbeach, is something that's very important, something integral to be able to bring a carbon there. And we're going to spend this year and the next year discussing a phenomenon that took place, or a discussion that Rabbanim had, the great Gedolim had, over the last hundreds of years, about a movement that there were those that wanted to bring karbanos bizman hazeh, there were those that wanted to bring karbanos even though we have no Beis HaMikdash, and you know, Mashiach has not yet come, but they wanted to show basis halachically that we could bring karbanos bizman hazeh, and we're going to explain what that was based on. And the overwhelming majority of Gedolim held that there were too many issues, too many different problems, why we cannot. And some of it has to do with the place of the Mizbech that we see over here, and it's pertinent to our Gemara, and we'll talk a little bit about that today. And then in the following shir, when we talk about the Big Day Kahuna, which the Gemara references later, the clothing of the Kohanim, some of the arguments that were raised with the same discussion are pertinent to there. Now, this is Sefer Kafta Farach that brings that he heard from his Rebbe that there was a Rishon, that there was an early Gadol a number of hundreds of years ago, that he wanted to go to Yerushalayim and to ask permission from the authorities at the time to be able to bring Karbanos. Now, what was the basis of this? So it's most people who are not familiar with this discussion are surprised that how could it even be a possibility of bringing Karbanos? There's no Beis HaMikdash. Now, what actually we find is a machlokes, a difference of opinion between the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Beis HaBchira, the laws of the Beis HaMikdash, he writes that at the end of the sixth parak, so that's Hilchos Beis HaBchira, parak Vav, Lachatez Vav, that makrivin karbanos kulon, we could bring all karbanos, afal pi, even though she'ein sham bayis, because there's no Beis HaMikdash bonoi. For oichlin kachi kachim chalazara, and one could eat kachi kachim in the whole courtyard, afal pi shul chareva, so there's no actual courtyard, but it's the place where the courtyard was, so we could eat it there. Ve'ein mukafas mechitz, even though there's no walls, for oichlin kachim kalim, and they can eat kachi kalim b'chalazara. I'm sorry, my sheshen b'chol Yerushalayim and the Tari Yerushalayim. Afal pi she'ein shem chayim, even though there's no walls. Why? She'kedusha rishayna kitchel atchayta v'kitchel aslofai. That originally, when the Beis HaMikdash was sanctified, that kedusha is intrinsic and does not leave. So therefore, even though there's no Beis HaMikdash, one could still bring karbanos. So it's quite clear that according to the Shita of the Rambam, one could bring karbanos in, even though there is no Beis HaMikdash. So based on this, there were those. There was this Rishon, the Rach, that wanted to bring Karbanos. And he asked the authorities, and the authorities didn't let. And the Kafta Vafach writes that I didn't have a chance to ask my Rebbe, what do we do about the fact that we don't have a Kayan Miyuchas? You need a Kayan to do the Avodah, and the Kayan has to have the proper lineage. So today we don't have the proper lineage. That's number one. He asked, what do you do with Tumah? And what do you do with the fact that we're all tummy mace, we're all impure, and we don't have a paraduma to remove the tumma of a mace? This is what the Kafta Farach relates. Now later on, much later, in the 1800s, there was a gadol by the name of Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, and he wrote to Rabbi Kiva Eger about his whole proposal about bringing karbanos bizman hazeh. Basically, he went through different problems that would arise, and based on that, he felt that perhaps we could bring karbanos bizman hazeh. and there's a letter from the Chassam Sofer to Rabbi Akiva Eiger discussing it. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger wrote back, there's a correspondence between him and Sirius Kalischer, different technical problems why Rabbi Akiva Eiger felt that it could not be brought today. Sirius Kalischer very much believed that it could, but Rabbi Akiva Eiger disagreed. Later, the Rav Dovid Karliner, who was a leading gadol, a little bit later, also wrote about it, and he writes over there basically four different reasons why we can't bring it today, based on technical difficulties. That even though the Rambam says that you could bring karbanos, but due to various technical difficulties, we wouldn't be able to do so. Now, the first thing to know is that the Ravid over here disagrees. The Ravid holds that Kedusha Rishona Kitchel Shaitev Aloy Kitchel Osa Lavai, which basically means that once the basic Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, then the Kedusha was lost. So if the Kedusha was lost, so then you can't bring Karbonis anymore. And okay, so the question was, at least according to the Rambam, that they were to stipulate when they bring the Karbon that they're doing it according to the Rambam. Now it seems from what the description of the Kasher of Farach that the Rach wanted to bring regular Kabbonis Tzibur, regular Kabbonis that the whole congregation is supposed to bring, whether it's a Tumid, whether it's a Musaf, these types of Kabbonis. And the Yavitz, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, raises an interesting point. He raises the point that in order to make something a public, a communal Kabbon, everyone has to donate money. So, at least at the time, they would be unable to collect a half shekel, the machzor shekel, from every Jewish person. That's how it was supposed to work in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. So today, since we don't have that, so therefore we would not be able to collect a carbon tzibur. So because of that technical problem, we could not bring a carbon tzibur. However, they all say that that problem is only when it comes to a communal carbon. When it comes to a carbon Pesach, we know each person brings their own carbon Pesach. So each person brings their own Karban Pesach, then we would be able to bring a Karban Pesach in today's days, according to the Rambam. Now, the reason why the only possibility of bringing a Karban Bezman is that would be a Karban Pesach, as opposed to any other Karban, is because, generally speaking, we have a problem of Tumah, that we are Tumah Meis, we are came in contact with dead bodies, and therefore, we cannot bring a carbon. Normally they had paraduma, they had the ashes of the paraduma, but today we don't have that. So we're stuck. Until Mashiach comes, we're not able to do it. Now, when it comes to carbonos tzibur, communal carbonos, or when it comes to carbon Pesach, there's a concept of tuma hutra b'tzibur, that when the majority of the Jewish people are tamei, that the prohibition of tuma is pushed aside. We're allowed to bring the carbon anyways. So basically, the idea would be that since the concept of Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur applies to a carbon Pesach, and a carbon Pesach does not have to be bought from communal funds, so we would be able to bring a carbon Pesach. And the Chassam Sofer, in his letter to Rabbi Eger, makes a reference to it that we could bring a carbon Pesach. Now, the later Gedalim, who discuss this more, point out that there's a lot more difficulties than the Chassam Sofer raised at that point. But again, in the days of the Chassam Sofer, it wasn't really feasible because they asked permission in those days as well, and they were also not granted permission, so it wasn't really practical. But as things changed, these issues were raised more, and there were even more issues to be contended with, as we'll soon mention. Now, before we continue, this argument that you can use the concept of Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, that Tumah is permitted in certain situations for the entire Tzibur, that would be a reason to bring the Karban Pesach. Some understand that it wouldn't help for a different reason. And the reason is because there's a concept of Ritzoy Tzitz, that the way it works, the reason why we're allowed to bring a Karban B'Tzibur, is because since the Kohen Gadol wears the Tzitz, the golden plate on his forehead, that Tzitz has a special ability, a special power to be mechaper, to atone for tuma b'tzibur, for tuma in a situation that the whole tzibur is impure, and therefore when you have the tzitz, so you're allowed to bring it in such a situation. But since we don't have the tzitz today, because we don't have a kohen gadol, so therefore it would be an issue. So again, there are those that definitely felt that we could say to Mahudra Batsiba in a situation. But even that is not entirely clear, because it could be that you need a tzitz and you need other requirements in order to say Tuma Hutra B'tzibur. Now, an argument that Rabbi Eger mentions in his letter to Tzirish Kalasher, but that Dava Kalina really speaks a lot about, is a simple problem. And that simple problem is, how do we know where the Mizbeach is? And how do we know where the Makom HaMikdash, where the Beis HaMikdash actually once stood? And as we mentioned, the whole premise of the Rambam is that you're going to bring the Karban in the exact spot where the Mizbeach and the Azara was, because we don't need to have the walls and the Beis HaMikdash to still be around, but you have to do it in the same spot where they made it Kaddish, where they sanctified it originally. Now, how do we know? So there's really two challenges. First of all, how would we know where the Beis HaMikdash stood? How would we know where Har Bayis was? So the Vedora Kalina brings a Garita, a Chazal tell us that the Ebershah left the western wall of Har Bayis. So, and we know that's the Kaisel Maravi. Now, the Rav Dovah Kalina is not comfortable relying on that alone for a number of reasons. But one of the things he said is because we know that generally we don't learn halacha from sources of Agarta. We only learn halacha from halachic sources. So here we're dealing with something very severe, very serious. And to just rely on a reference in the Gemara, which we don't know if it's to be taken literally or not, that wouldn't be such a good idea. Another issue that Rabbi Kiva Eger talks about, and Rabbi Dovah Kalina also raises, is that let's assume that the Kaisel Maravi, for example, is the proper place. Now, then we would, once we know where one point is, and then based on the different measurements that the Mishnayos tell us, then we would start measuring with Amas. Now, there's two issues. One issue is that the Amma, the size of an Amma, it was measured different ways, meaning to say how many Tfachim in the Amma depended. That's one issue. That's something Rabbi Kiva discusses. But Rav Dov Kalina brings out an even more fascinating point, which is that we know that the Amma is the size of a hand breadth, an arm's breadth, between from the elbow to the middle, through the middle finger. Now, as generations change, that size gets bigger and smaller, right? Now, even though when it comes to measurement, let's say when Moshe Feinstein, in his tshuva, when he discusses how big does the mikveh has to be, so the Gemara tells us that a mikveh is one amma by three ammas, so he measured with how he viewed how many inches the average person's arm is, which is, he said, right, 21 inches, and then he's machmer to 23 inches. But he writes that even though in a different generation it might be longer or shorter, but when the Torah was given this idea of amma, the idea is to measure it in every generation based on what it is in that generation. So Rav Dovah Kalina says, even though we use that concept, so therefore when it comes to most halachas, when we have to measure, it's we can measure with based on what it is in our generation. The point over here is to try to figure out where was the Makom HaMikdash when in the days of the Mikdash. Because the question over here is not to determine the measurement. The question over here is to find where was the original place where the Azara was, as the Rambam is telling us that it has Kedusha, and that we have to know the exact measurement, how big the Amas were in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, and that we have obviously no way of for sure knowing because our Amas change. Now, that problem is not only, now even if we would use the Kaisel Maravi and we would use the Amas, but then we don't know where exactly where the Beis HaMikdash itself stood, but also where the Mizbeach was. And in the same way, Rav Dovah Kalina brings a machlokes that is not even clear in the Gemara exactly where the Mizbeach was in the Azara, and having the Mizbeach in the proper place, halachically, could be an issue as far as it having the proper Kedusha and the Karbonos being valid. Another point that he raises with the Mizbeach is that we know that the stones of the Mizbeach have to be cut perfectly, to the point that you could run your fingernail across them and they wouldn't get stuck. But as we know, you're not allowed to use metal to cut the stones of the Mizbeach. Now, how were they able to do that? The answer is that in those days, they had the shamir. They had this special worm that was able to cut the stone. But today we don't have that worm. So how would you be able to make a Mizbeach that's so perfect that you would be able to fulfill those halachas? Another point that the Chafetz Chaim actually mentions in his Sefer on Kachim, in the Kutei Halachas, is the Gemara tells us that in order for a carbon to be valid on the Mizbech, it has to be keneged ha-pesach ha-ulam. It has to be opposite the opening of the Heichel, of the building of the sanctuary with the Beis HaMikdash. So the Chafetz Chaim asks the question that how, according to the Rambam, does he expect one to be able to bring a carbon there if there's no Beis HaMikdash? There's a halacha that it has to be by the doorway of the Heichel, of the sanctuary. So the Chafetz Chaim says that possibly, if there's nothing else there, so it would be opposite the doorway, if there would be a doorway. So the point is that the fact that there's nothing obstructing it would be enough, says the Chafetz Chaim, based on that today, where, as we know, there's a mosque over there, where the Heichel and the Kodesh HaKadoshim seemingly was. So says the Chafetz Chaim, then that would be a new problem, because it has to be Pesach Ha'oil, it has to be opposite the sanctuary without anything obstructing, only the base of the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and there's another building there. Then he brings a Rashba that says it might not be the case, but this is a point that the Chafetz Chaim raises. So again, in this year, we covered a few points, basically the location of the Mizbeach, how the Mizbeach is formed, the location of the Beis HaMikdash, of how to count the Amas, as well as the issue of Tumah and the issue of Shkolim. In the next year, we're going to discuss the issues with the Kayin itself, because obviously you need a Kayin, and we're going to focus that on that when we discuss Daf Samach.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.